When we look tonight in verse number 15, that's where we're going to begin reading. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. From these verses, verses 15 through 19, I want to preach on this thought. When Jesus cleans house. Growing up at home, my mama, she cleaned the house every day. Seemed like multiple times a day because she had two boys. And yet we'd still have a time called spring cleaning. And many of y'all's mama had a time of spring cleaning. We washed windows and did all the things that she didn't do every day. And I thought spring cleaning was absolutely going to kill us. And I'll be honest, one of the best things we could ever have in our lives is a good cleansing by the power of the Holy Ghost, by letting the word of the washing of the word of God go through us. Amen. At the beginning of Mark chapter 11, we entered into, I believe, the most extraordinary time in redemptive history. It is the week that begins what we call Passion Week. The Jews call it Passover. But you and I know that Jesus is on his way into Jerusalem to lay down his life as the sacrifice upon the cross. And so when I look at this chapter, number one, we see the triumphant Christ, verses 1 through 11. The week of the Passover, Jesus rides a lowly donkey through the eastern gate into the city of Jerusalem. And the massive crowds have gathered. I mean, there are millions of people gathered to celebrate the Passover. And they spread their garments in the middle of the street. And they wave palm branches and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus rode that donkey through those people that were shouting. And he rode all the way up to the temple. He dismounted that donkey. He walked up the steps of the temple complex. And the Bible says that he entered the temple and he looked round about. And when he looked round about, he was looking to see, was the priest preaching? Was the people praying? Were there people praising God in his house on that Sunday evening? But instead, he saw people selling merchandise. And he saw money changers and those that were selling animal sacrifices. And so the Lord walked back out of his house. He wept over the city. He said, how often would I have gathered you as a hen does her little chicks under my wings, and you would not. That triumphant entry is really turned into a tragedy because he knows by the end of the week, that crowd that's shouting, praising him will be the very crowd that's shouting, crucify him by the end of the week. So number one, these all start with TC. We see the triumphant Christ. Number two, in verses 12 through 14, we see the tree cursed. Jesus left the temple that night. He went back 2 miles to Bethany and he spent the night there. The next morning he awoke and he started traveling back towards Jerusalem and he was hungry. And he looked and saw a fig tree. Desiring something to eat, he approached the fig tree. But when he got there, all he saw was leafy green foliage, but no figs. In fact, not any fruit at all. Not even any buds for fruit. And Jesus, seeing the hypocrisy of that tree, that it was promising something it couldn't deliver, that it pretended to be something that it was not, Jesus said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. That tree, a fig tree, is a picture of Israel. They had so many blessings, but they would not bear fruit for the glory of God. Is my life like that? Is our family like that? Is our church like that? I'm telling you, we have so many blessings of God. Are we bearing fruit? I pray not. Amen. I pray that the Lord is pleased When he looks at Bethel, he said, there's people praising God, people that are serving me, people that are desiring. Let me tell you something. I praise God for that y'all want to serve God and you love the Lord. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't take much to get us just to become lazy and lethargic and not appreciate the blessings of God. And I see our nation in decline because of those very things. And I challenge you as a church, make sure that you keep it fresh and that you keep it real in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He placed a curse upon that tree. Thirdly, and I'll be done. In verses 15 through 19, we see the temple cleansed. Jesus, having put the curse upon the fig tree, traveled on to Jerusalem. And when he got there, verse 15 says, they come to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple. He had just been there on Sunday night. And now it's Monday morning and he's walked back into the house of God. And what do you think he saw? I believe Sunday evening, he saw them closing down business. But now Monday morning, they're setting up for business. I mean, business is booming. Things are very lucrative. Let's talk about it. The Bible says that he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. We might say that Jesus cleaned his house. Now, do you remember in John chapter number 2, I believe it is, that Jesus, when he began his ministry, yes, in verses 13 through verse 19 or 20, when Jesus began his ministry, he went into the temple. He saw the same situation going on. He made a scourge and he began to whip at and beat and flip over tables, and he physically drove people out of the house of God that he might cleanse the house of God. And here we are 3 years later, after the Lord has done such a work, they're back to the same business, back to the same laziness, back to the same worldliness that they were before. And it's just because they did not want to believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The house of God has again been corrupted by worldly intrusions and the practices of sinful men. And I want to say this, there is nothing that draws the wrath of God more severely than the corruption of His holy name. I believe the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who lead others astray in the worship of Almighty God. Well, Preacher Dan, I don't believe that there's a hotter place in hell. That's just false doctrine. My Bible says greater damnation. Amen. If it were not so, he would have told us. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to play church. It's a dangerous thing to be hypocritical in church. I'm telling you, as a preacher, that's a fearful thing. As a Christian, that ought to be a fearful thing for you to be playing church. Let me give you a verse of scripture. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, preacher, I'm not taking God's name in vain. I'm not cursing. Yeah, but if you're leading other people astray, if you're leading them into a false way to worship Him, if you're corrupting the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are taking God's name in vain. And the verse doesn't stop there. Let me read the rest of the verse. I heard Paul Harvey say, now for the rest of the story. Let me give you the rest of the story. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You see, God is serious about proper worship of his name. He said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And wherever God's name is minimalized in worship, his righteous indignation is sure to follow. For the nation of Israel, their worship of God has gone wrong. It has gone south. The people, this is what I believe they've done. I believe they've lowered their view of God. They've brought God down to their casual, everyday life. And they are reducing, lowering the view of God and trivializing holy things. They're degrading the glory of God, especially those that are serving at the temple. And what a travesty that this is. It is a shame when people at the house of God, people who know better, decide that they're going to turn a travesty into a worship service. I'm telling you, That's ridiculous. Our Lord saw the hypocrisy of the commercialization and the dishonesty and the politics. It's about politics. And the politics of the people that day in the temple. And Jesus walks in, zealous, filled with righteous indignation over the things of God, is beginning to set things straight. May I just say, you may feel like that you want to reduce God to your casual, comfortable level. But when you bring God down to your level, what do you have? You remember upon the mountain, Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus being transfigured before them. And he was talking to Moses and Elijah. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And it was. And he said, let us make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He just brought Jesus down to the level of Moses and Elijah. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. God and Jesus are so much greater than Moses and Elijah. They're so much greater than we here at the house of God. I don't want to have a low view of God. I believe God's bigger than all my giants. I believe God's able to do things that I could never do. I believe He's the God of the impossible. Amen. And if it were not so, I would just quit serving Him. Amen. I have a high and a lofty view of my God. He can conquer and do all things. He can be anywhere. Glory, hallelujah, amen. Now we'll say a few things about this temple being cleansed. First of all, these all start with the letter E. I see the entrance. Jesus went into the temple. He saw again them doing business. May I say that the house of God is a house of worship. It should not be a marketplace. He saw the money changers and he saw the people buying and selling animals for the sacrifice. Now here's what was happening. Listen to this. People, normal, common Jews, would come to the house of God and they were bringing their own sacrifice to offer sacrifice unto the Lord for their sins. And when they got there, here's what would happen. When they got there, the priests or someone that would inspect the sacrifice said, your sacrifice is good, but it fails to meet the standard. And so they would say, you have failed inspection. And if you're going to worship this Passover week, you're going to have to buy an animal that is acceptable to God. And so the people would have to take out their money and listen, they would trade in their animal and pay the rest of the money to buy an animal that was more suitable, according to the priest, for sacrifice. And the minute they did that, okay, now they've gone to a money changer to exchange their Roman coins for Jewish coins, for shekels that you could only use in the house of God. They've had to leave their animal. Their animal got a discounted price. How many of y'all ever traded cars and you felt like you got ripped off on your used one? Okay, amen. That's what they've done. And then they had to go buy this other one that was an exorbitant price. But they didn't want to disappoint God. They believed what the priest had to say. And now they've had to spend all this money to be able to worship and serve God. They walk away with their sacrifice. They go take it to the priest that it might be slain over their sins. They take the animal that got traded in and put it out here at the marketplace and turn around and sell it like a brand new one. Do you see how they were making profit? I mean, it was a lucrative business that they had going there at the house of God. May I just say, they were prospering out of the sinful practices of cheating people. Isn't that terrible? And to make matters worse, these money changers, they're exchanging the coins, Roman coins for Jewish coins. And listen to this, they do it for 10 times more than the normal transaction would be. And now the money changers have a lucrative business. Can you just imagine they're selling oxen? You want an oxen? We got oxen. They're selling sheep. You want a sheep? We got sheep. They're selling doves. You want a dove? We got doves. Not just one dove. We got pairs of doves. But it's going to cost you. You're going to get ripped off by trading in your animal. You're going to get ripped off by having to buy a new animal. You're going to get ripped off by the money changers as well. I'm telling you, back in them days, going to the temple was a complete ripoff. And Jesus walked in. He's not just angry and upset because they're making His house a house of merchandise. He's angry because of the cheating that's going on in that place. Preacher Darren, you're making a lot worse of, more of this than it is. Jesus was provoked. He was very upset. Now, think about it. This has become a money racket. Ben, can you imagine there they were? They were yelling and screaming and so much noise going on, selling this and bidding on that. It was like being on the floor of the exchange of Wall Street. I'm thinking about the noise, the filth, the stench of the animals, the greed, the extortion, the crooked deals being cut, the swindling of the worshipers, the fleecing of the flock of people, the defrauding and the deceiving. I'm talking about of poor people who are being pillaged at the house of God. You're talking about corruption. It was all over God's house. Think about the hypocrisy. And they say that they're worshiping God doing so. And this all happened as soon as Jesus entered into the temple. I wonder, when he walks in our temple, you know what? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does he see when he sees you? Does he see greed? Does he see deception? Does he see you as a hypocrite and a fraud? My. The second thing I want to think about here, not just his entrance, but I want you to see the ejection. We're talking about the house of God. I'm out here tonight inviting people to come back Sunday to the house of God. Right? Jesus is driving them out because of their corrupt mannerisms. The Bible says that he cast them out. He overthrew their tables. How many of y'all know that he was making a mess? He overthrew the seats of them that sold doves. Just as soon as he saw their sinful practices, he could no longer sit idly by. The people of the temple should have known better. These are religious people. And Jesus took immediate action. He began to thrust them out. He began to cast them out. He forcibly threw them out of their preacher there, and he was angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. There's such a thing as righteous indignation. He forcibly removed them from his house. Look in verse 16. He would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Preacher, and what does that mean? Well, what they would do is, as they were taking merchandise and carrying stuff through the house of God, they would take, listen, it would be a shortcut. Now look at me. Tonight, if you decide, hey, I need to carry such and such from over here to over there, I would go around the backside of the building to get over here to where I needed to be. But that's not what they did. They took a shortcut through the house of God. Not dressed properly. Not ready to worship properly. They're just cutting through to take a shortcut. How many of us are taking shortcuts at the house of God? How many of us are taking shortcuts in our prayer life? Bible says to enter into your closet and pray. How many of y'all take a shortcut? You don't even do that. Listen, we take a shortcut when we worship. I'm just talking about the Lord. The Lord is cleaning house. And he's making sure that his house is holy. The house of God. How many of y'all know the house of God should be hallowed? Back many years ago, if a drunk walked down the street, he would get on the other side of the road away from the house of God. He respected God's house that much. But now they'll throw beer cans at the house of God. I'll find beer cans back here sitting on the bumper of the bus. I mean, what? Yes! It ought to never be, y'all. And they're making a spectacle and a sport of the things of God. But how many of y'all know you're not going to laugh at God and get away with it for long? He said, I will laugh in your day of calamity. I will laugh when derision comes in. You mock me, God says, one of these days, I'm going to mock you. Jesus took fast and furious action. He did not tolerate the desecration of the house of God. I have another E word, thirdly. Listen, it's the exposition. Jesus has something to say. My Bible says in verse 17, and he taught. What about that? You wouldn't think this is the time to teach. He's overthrowing tables. He's chasing people out. And all of a sudden he stops to take time to teach a lesson. Saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus is saying this is God's house. This is where God's word is to be expounded. This is where God wants his word to be heard. This is where God's name is to be exalted. This is where God is to be worshipped. And now he's quoting out of Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7. And he says, my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. This is the place where God met with his people. It is a house of worship. It is a house of prayer. And they've turned it into a place of corruption and deceit. It is a place of merchandise. In fact, he also quotes Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 11. So he linked Isaiah 56, 7 to Jeremiah 7, 11. And he says this, is this the house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Are you always saying? This house is a house to seek God, not gold. We're not here to profit for ourselves, amen? We're here to give glory to Almighty God. It is not a house of merchandise. It is not a house of materialism. You know what they were? These merchandisers and these money changers, they were thieves. They were stealing God's glory. They were stealing God's ghost. They were stealing the tithes that the people brought to the house of God. These animals to sacrifice, they were stealing them. God's not pleased with that. You'll not steal God's glory. You'll not steal God's goals and make it very long and be blessed. Amen. I'm just telling you, Jesus should get all the honor and the praise. We ought not to be giving glory to the preacher. We're not giving glory to the choir. We're not giving glory to the people. We're giving glory to God. If you're giving glory and honor to anybody else, you're robbing God of his glory. I'm telling you right now, do not give me glory. I don't want it. Now, I don't want to be accused of taking anything from God. No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. Fourthly, there's another E word, the explosion. Now, he stood there and he's taught them after he's driven them out. In verse 18, my Bible says, the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. They are filled with rage. They're trying to find a way. What do we have to do to get rid of this man? On what authority does he come in here and throw us out? We've been here before he was. Oh no. He's the Son of God and yet the Son of Man. It's not just his Father's house, it's his house. Amen. He is God in the house. Amen. And they're against him. In fact, look with me in verse 18 again. Read on. For they feared him. Do you see that? They were afraid of him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. They are terrified of Jesus. You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is tonight. They're terrified of the truth. I'm going to ask you a question. When you was in sin and you realized you was a sinner and you needed to be saved, did you get afraid? Did you start quaking? Did fear come over you? Because why? You are terrified of the truth. You're terrified that you are going to die and go to hell as a sinner. You are scared absolutely to death. They are terrified of the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. United States of America, we are terrified of the truth. We want to live amongst deceit and corruption and lies because we're afraid of the truth. And there's a difference between the truth you say is truth and the God of truth. He is truth. And in him is no lie whatsoever. Now, hallelujah. I want to go back to Matthew's gospel. Can I read a parallel passage here? Matthew chapter 21. Please turn your Bibles with me if you have your Bible. Matthew 21. I want you to see this. This is incredible. This is incredible. Let's read verse 13 just to parallel Mark, parallel into Matthew. Matthew gives us just a little bit more of a glimpse here that I love. Let's just read this about they're terrified of Jesus. They're terrified of the truth. In Matthew 21:13. Jesus said to him, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, how many of y'all know that Jesus just cleansed the temple? He's cast out the money changers. He's cast out those that sold merchandise. He's cleansed the house. Look what happens immediately. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame chained to him in the temple, and he healed them. Woo! That's huge. When the merchandisers were there, God wasn't getting the glory. God wasn't getting the goals. When the merchandisers and the money changers were there, they had a business that was booming, but there wasn't no blind people getting healed. There wasn't no lame people getting healed. There wasn't no sinners being saved. They had church, but they wasn't having no people getting right with God. But the minute the house of God, hallelujah, well, the minute the house of God got set in order, God went right back to business, amen. And what does God do? He saves sinners. He heals the sick, man, amen. And immediately, this was a sign that the Messiah was in the house. In fact, you're holding your place here. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35, come help me, Jesus. Isaiah 35 comes to mind. Help me, Lord. Isaiah 35. Verse number 4. Please turn there. Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. You see what happens when God gets in the house? You'll see sinners getting saved, amen. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Well, I could preach right there all day long. You know what happens when God gets in the house? He starts cleaning things up. We get business, amen. Spiritual business, amen. Not physical merchandise, not physical money changing, but I'm talking about spiritual business picks up. And I don't know about you, but I need spiritual blessings. The money means nothing to me, amen. I need to eat. I need a house. I need to make a house payment and a light bill. That's all I need. But for everything else, I'd rather have salvation. I'd rather have Jesus working in people's lives than anything I know. And when God, glory to God, when He cleanses the house, there's unity of the Spirit, amen. I'm telling you, we need a spiritual house cleaning, amen. What a blessing that is. Well, Preacher Darren, we've seen a bunch say, you know why? It's because God got in this thing and started cleaning some things up, amen, and started saving people and healing people. And that's what He does, amen. Thank God for it. Now, we're going back to Matthew chapter 21. Just as soon as He cleansed the house, immediately the blind and the lame and people are getting saved. Praise God for it. Look with me in verse 15. Here's another thing that happened. Watch this, verse 15. What a blessing this is. Verse 15. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did. Now, wait a minute. The wonderful things that He did. They're mad. They want to destroy Him. They're against it. But they know what He's done is right. And when they saw the wonderful things that He did, watch this. And the children crying in the temple. Oh, preacher, that's horrible. The children are crying. What about them? What about Jesus scaring little kids like that and overthrowing money changers' tables and driving the sellers of merchandise out and getting rid of all these animals, those sweet little animals. I mean, Peter loves them. I mean, you got sheep and oxen and little doves. And He's throwing them out. Now the children are crying. If you got the right kind of Bible, read with me. The children were crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. What about that? What did the children cry out? The children said, Hosanna, that means save us now. The children were praising God in the house. When Jesus cleans the house, even the little kids know it. You'll see the little kids start getting excited about what God is doing in His house. What about that? And I'm telling you, youngins, I'm seeing some rumblings going on right now for the glory of God. Children are excited to death about what God is doing. I mean, we saw that choir up here. Son, there's a falling out of the choir, getting on their face, calling on God. I've seen it stirring in the school for 2 weeks. I'm just telling you, youngins start praising God. And I'm telling you, the youngins don't know any better.
When they start praising him, if you ever seen a snake in the highway and you run over it and you look to see if anybody's coming and you back up and you run over it again, and if it still ain't nobody coming, you get your tires right on top of it and then you lay it down to the floorboard while trying to hold your brakes, and you tear that devil all to pieces. Or that snake. Youngins don't know any better than just to praise God and believe God and serve God. And when they start looking to him, honey, you better hang on. Business is about to pick up. And when the scribes and the chief priests heard the little children praising God, Hosanna to the Son of David, save us now. I'm telling you what, it tore them scribes and chief priests. They were sore displeased. They're upset about it. These little kids need to be more respectful. These little kids, they shouldn't even be speaking in church. I don't like these little kids up singing. That's for adults. I don't like these little kids up praising God and getting baptized and stuff. You know what it is? You terrified of the truth. Verse 16. He said to them, "Hearest thou what these say?" That's what they said to him. They said, "Jesus, don't you hear what they're saying? These little kids are crying. Listen to them." Jesus said, "Yea, I hear what they're saying. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" That's just his spiritual way of saying, why ain't y'all doing it? What's wrong with y'all? Why ain't y'all praising me? Why ain't y'all shouting hallelujah? Why ain't y'all excited? Why's the little kids got to be the ones doing it? Because you're terrified of the truth. And Jesus just quoted Psalm 8:2. He's saying these children are fulfilling the will of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're proclaiming him in the house of God. Let me tell you something. I'm glad I feel preaching stern to me. I'm glad that I go to a church where it's all right if a youngin gets up and sings praises to God, and it's okay if they put their hand up, and it's okay if they stand up and say, "I just want to thank God for saving me," and they sit right back down. It's okay. I'm glad I go to a church that if a little girl says, "Preacher, dear, I got a song. I want to get up and sing 'Jesus Loves Me,'" that we've got all day long, hallelujah, to let them sing. I say, let it rip, tater chip. And if you don't want to get behind them, well, that's on you. But they're just doing your job for you. Amen. It ought to be us up singing, "Jesus loves me." It ought to be us up praising. Hey, hallelujah. Do you get my drift? That's what was happening in the house of God. And they thought it was an insult for children to even be speaking out. Well, I've got one more thing. It starts with an E and I'll be done. Going back to Mark, chapter 11. One more thing and I'm done. I know you're going to say, hallelujah, get off of this mess, Preacher Darren. One more E. It's the exit. Verse 19. And when the even was come, now, I don't know if you think about this, but what happened to Tom? In the morning, on his way there, he pronounced a curse upon the fig tree because it bore no fruit and Israel's bore no fruit. He goes to the house of God, and as soon as he gets there, he casts out the merchandisers and the sellers of doves and the money changers, and he started teaching and he taught about two quotes from Isaiah and Jeremiah. That certainly wouldn't have taken all day. But evidently, he stood in the temple all day long, leading in the worship at the house of God. And when the even was come, he left, amen, and he went back out of the city, probably back down there to Bethany. What about that? Preacher Darren, why didn't he stay? Why didn't he just stay? Can I say this to you, and I hope it's okay. Jesus is a gentleman, and he will not stay where he is not wanted. Now, let me tell y'all something. I was reading this afternoon, and I typed that out right there. Jesus will not stay where he is not wanted. And the Lord said, "How about you? Do you want me?" What do y'all think? You better believe I do. I want him. Not only do I want him, but I need him. I desire more of him. I desire more of him, not just for my life and for my family, but I want it for our church. as pastor of this church, I want Jesus. I want more of Him than I've ever had before. I need Him so much. And so I pray He'll just stay with us. Jesus will not force His way into your life. He made, I believe, a purposeful departure. And symbolically, I believe, when He left, it was an indictment against them. Now, Jesus saw those in the temple that day. And you know what He did? And Jesus sees us today. I'm thinking how that Jesus told John, the Revelator, He said, I want you to write to the seven churches. And the church that was at Ephesus, what a great apostolic church that was. He says in Revelation 2 and verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. At the end of verse 5, you know what He told that church? He said, you need to repent. The church at Pergamos in Revelation 2:16, He said, you need to repent. In Revelation 3:3, the church that was at Sardis, He said, you need to repent. Revelation 3:19, to the church of Laodicea, which represents our age, church age, He said, I see you, you're lukewarm. I wish that you were hot, excited, fired up for the cause of Christ. I wish you was hot, or at least I wish you was cold. That, you know, you're just cold, you want nothing, you're the church. I want to be here at 11 o'clock, I want to start on time, I want 3 songs, I want you to finish preaching by 11:30. Let me get in line before the other crowd does at steakhouse. Right? He said, I wish it was hot or cold. He said, but you all kind of lukewarm. You neither hot nor cold. I like water, I like it cold. I like it good and cold. But lukewarm water, I got no use for that. And the Lord said He would spew us out of His mouth if we were lukewarm. And you know what, what He told that church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19? He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. I believe Jesus being zealous for His house. Okay? I'm not talking about being legalistic. Well, preacher, dear, I don't think y'all do this, and I don't think y'all do that. I don't think. No. That's not the purpose of that. He knew that they were cheating, that they were frauds, that they were ruining people. Think about this. Poor people who've saved everything they have just to be able to give a tithe or an offering at the house of God. And to get treated like that, how many of y'all know that the people don't want to go back to the temple? They don't want to go back because of how they got treated. Is this somebody who says, I don't want to go back to Bethel because of how I got treated there. How that preacher treated me, how that church choir treated me, how I don't go back because they treated me. Let's be careful how we treat one another. Let's love people, amen. If you're going to make an error on the side of love every single time, if at all possible. While you stand for truth, err on the side of love. Amen. I'm done. That's what the Lord laid on my heart, just a little thought. Amen. Jesus cleansed the house. And I asked Him today, I said, Lord, would You clean my house? Would you work in the corners and the cobwebs and the places of my heart? God, would You cleanse and get that out of me? And Lord, help me. And I'm telling you, I've not liked some of the things He's found. Amen. Miss Gina, she cleans our house, and when she starts cleaning in the closet. That's where she starts. When I clean, I go and put everything in the closet. I said, this ought to be here. I got to get this over here. I put it in the closet. That's not. She starts in the closet, empties it out, and reorganizes all of that. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do with the rest of this stuff? And it takes us weeks to figure out what we're going. But I'm telling you, one reason we don't get in our closets no more, because we're so filled with materialism and messes, that we can't get in their closet to pray like we ought to. Amen. We're taking shortcuts in prayer, shortcuts in worship services. I say we just take time to serve God. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God, for the challenge of the text. Thank You, God, for the opportunity You've given us tonight to look in Your Word. Lord, I want to tell You tonight, Lord, forgive us where we've failed You. Help us, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Show us. Establish us, God. We want You. Lord, we don't want You to leave. God, we want You to stay with us, Father. God, I don't want to be the type of church that says we don't want Jesus around here. Father, we want You, more of You, Father. Would You help us to have that? Lord, thank You for what You're doing. May Your blessings continue to flow. God, help us, Father, as we get ready for these coming exciting services coming this weekend. Lord, we're so excited to be able to be in the house of God this weekend. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to serve You. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.